Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to the NFL Rough Draft Dynasty Podcast. This is Mike Lushin, and I'm joined by my partner in crime, as always, Ray Mencio. How you doing today, Ray?
Doing great, Mike. Doing great.
All right, so I'm going to give a brief review of who we are, because it's been a really, really long time since we've done a podcast. And, you know, all of our previous podcasts have been about the actual NFL draft and not dynasty fantasy football. So
right.
Ray and I have been following the NFL draft for a very, very long time. We started NFLRoughDraft.com about 10 years ago. And in that time, we've been scored as one of the most accurate draft websites by the Huddle Report. We actually finished in first in 2015. This year we were hurt a little bit, Ray, because of the Raven Clark. You know, we didn't have him in our top 100, even though we felt like there was a good chance he would go in the top 100, but he was raw, and, you know, frankly, he wasn't very good at the Senior Bowl and during practice that week. And, you know, those guys in the spread offense in college, those offensive linemen, you can never really tell if they can block or not until they get out of college. But I don't want to spend any more time on LaRaven Clark, but, you know, we finished a little bit lower. We finished with Rob Rang still, though, this year in the Huddle Report rankings. But, yeah, we've been following the NFL draft for quite some time, and we've been pretty successful at predicting value. So we have also done a lot of work with Dynasty Fantasy Football throughout the years. And where it really started was 8 years ago when I was with ESPN Stats and Information. You know, it was about 2 weeks before the season, gathered up some of my buddies from the newsroom, and I said, hey, guys, let's start a Dynasty Football League. And they were on board, of course. And, you know, we had no idea what we were doing at the time. We held a live draft, which seems crazy to me at this point. And, you know, the thing was just so much fun. The league was great, and it's still going today. But, you know, I really, you know, talked to Ray a lot about it throughout the years. And a few years back, we decided to really branch out and join some more Dynasty Leagues. So a few years ago, we joined an expert league with some of the bigger names in the Dynasty community, like Matt Williamson and Chad Parsons and Sigmund Bloom. And, you know, we've since joined quite a few Dynasty Leagues, and we've been pretty successful. So we wanted to start, in addition to our regular NFL Draft podcast, to try to help out some of the newer members and, you know, sort of just explain some of the things that have worked for us. So, Ray, we're here tonight. I mean, it's our first show. We're going to talk a little bit about Dynasty Startup Strategy. So, you know, I'm going to start us off. I know I haven't given you a lot of time to talk, but I think that the very first thing you need to do when you're in a Dynasty Football League is you need to not be a fan. So a lot of people who play Dynasty Fantasy Football and Fantasy Football in general, they do it because they're fans of the NFL and maybe a fan of a specific team. But you really have to put that aside when you play in Dynasty Leagues. And Ray, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it's just, you know, there's a lot of diehard fans that maybe will turn around and not draft particular players because they play for an opposing team and they don't want to root for them, or vice versa. You overvalue the players of your favorite team. So if you're going to be in it to win money, you have to be as objective as you can and kind of remove yourself from that situation. That's a, you know, I know a couple of Giants fans that will refuse to draft Dez Bryant, but, you know, Dez Bryant's one of the best receivers in the league.
Right, and, you know, you sum that up perfectly. You're really limiting yourself if you're a Giants fan and you're saying, well, I'm not drafting any Cowboys. You know, Dez Bryant's the best player on the board right now. I have maybe the 11th pick in the first round, and I'm not taking him because I don't want to root for the Cowboys. I mean, you have to let that go. And just the same, you're hurting yourself if you're saying, well, I'm a Giants fan, I need to mortgage all of these picks to move up from 111 to 101 or 102 because I need to have Odell Beckham on my team. You know, you have to let those things go. And I think the reasons why, we talked about it, it's going to limit your potential as a team if you're automatically cutting players out. But we're going to get into sort of why it's a bad idea to target one specific player and move up and trade too much for him. And that sort of leads perfectly to our second point, which is if you are drafting in a dynasty startup, the best thing you can do is trade down. So, Ray, do you want to talk a little bit about why you and I have decided to trade down and all of the recent dynasty startups we've done?
Yeah, in particular in the early rounds, particularly in round one, you know, we certainly will move up later on in the draft if there's a player or a couple players that we really feel like we need to have. But early on in the draft, it's imperative that you're getting the most value that you can out of whatever picks that you have. So when you look at the top few picks, particularly in the top half of the first round, there's not really a lot that's going to separate those top-tier players on a week-to-week basis. And if you have the number one overall pick, you know, usually it's going to be this year, it's either Odell Beckham or Antonio Brown. And when you take a look at those two guys, they're very good players. But how much different really is a Julio Jones or a DeAndre Hopkins or an Allen Robinson in comparison to that? Is it enough to go back four or five spots and potentially pick up a first-round pick next year or to move up from the fifth round to the third round where you're going to get a significantly different player? You know, there's a lot of value that we've been able to gain by continuously moving back. And even after we've had picks in the middle of the first round, we maybe moved to the end of the first round, we've looked to move back again because the same argument holds. You know, a guy like Rob Gronkowski has been typically going at the end of the first round in most dynasty startups. You know, sometimes you can see him going 7, 8, 9. Typically he's going to go, you know, 8 to 12. And he gives you a significant advantage playing the tight end position where no one else can even touch him. There's a lot of players, you know, that you're going to look at in that range that aren't going to be that much of a drop-off from those earlier picks.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. And I know that some people are probably saying, hey, wait a minute, there is a big difference between Antonio Brown and, you know, maybe say, you know, Mike Evans. You know, Antonio Brown's playing at a Jerry Rice caliber level. But the point that we're trying to make is you're not going to lose your league because you had Mike Evans instead of Antonio Brown. If you get one of them, you've done your job, and you've accumulated another asset, like a future pick like Ray was talking about, or a trade up somewhere else in the startup, and that's going to help you gain an edge over your competition. So I'm absolutely with you, Ray. You know, the thing that we do is, well, if we're picking in that top few, we'll keep trading down because we don't care if we get Hopkins or Robinson or Julio Jones or Watkins or Evans or Cooks or any of those guys, Keenan Allen, A.J. Green, Dez Bryant. I mean, if we're getting one of those top wide receivers with our first pick, we're happy. And if we come out of that with an extra first-round pick or a couple extra first-round picks, now we can use that to our advantage. You know, our most recent example of this is, you know, we had, I don't even remember at this point, but we had a recent startup and we were picking third or fourth. We traded down a bunch of times and we accumulated two extra first-round picks. Now, we took those two extra first-round picks. I believe they were 2017 picks, which at this point are incredibly overvalued because of the running backs that are projected to be in next year's draft. And we taxed them with the first-round pick that we already had from, I think, 2018. And we ended up getting Sammy Watkins. So instead of getting Julio Jones, we ended up getting Mike Evans and Sammy Watkins, which gives us a huge advantage over, you know, the the rest of the league at this point. And even if you say, well, you gave up 3 first-round picks, you mortgaged the future there, well, Sammy Watkins and Mike Evans aren't retiring anytime soon, at least not in, in all likelihood. So you want to trade down as much as you can. Next up, don't draft all rookies. You know, this is something that we've developed over the years. Because, Ray, I think when we first started, you know, this was something we were a little bit guilty of. We went a little bit overboard with rookies. But would you like to talk a little bit about why we don't go overboard on rookies?
Yeah, absolutely. This is an area that I think that most amateurs who don't play usually get burned. Particularly, this rookie class is a little bit weak. But even if you go to, let's take back to last year. Last year was looked at as one of the stronger rookie classes. You know, 2014 and 2015 were very deep rookie classes. And in those rookies in 2015, Todd Gurley and Amari Cooper did not disappoint. Those guys did what they're supposed to do. Their first round dynasty startup players now. But after that was Melvin Gordon, Kevin White, Rashad Perriman, Devontae Parker, and Nelson Aguilar. For the most part, that's what you looked at. Now, Rashad Perriman's hurt again. His value is plummeted. Nelson Aguilar, no one wants to touch him. Devontae Parker showed flashes at the end of the year. Melvin Gordon looked like a below-average running back. And Kevin White, we still don't have any idea what he is because he didn't step on the field last year. Those guys were going anywhere between the third, fourth, and fifth rounds, and they're finishing ahead of guys. They're getting drafted ahead of guys that were, you know, very productive players at wide receiver one and twos. And it's one of those things that they didn't contribute at all. You have no real value of what they're going to contribute. Now, again, there's a guy like Ezekiel Elliott. He's most likely worth an early pick in a startup dynasty draft. But it's not just because of the player he is. He's also in an ideal situation, and that's important. But if you go after that and all those rookies, what do you get with Corey Coleman? Who's throwing Corey Coleman the ball? You know, Laquon Treadwell, the Vikings don't throw the ball downfield that much. You know, what role does Stephon Diggs play? And these guys are going much higher, and they don't have one catch in the NFL, one rushing yard in the NFL. It's a mistake that people look at by saying, I'm going to be able to have player X from when he's 21, 22 years old throughout his entire career for the next 15 years. That's a mistake because most guys aren't playing that long, and most of those rookies are going to end up disappointing you. Not them all. Don't get me wrong. Todd Gurley and Amari Cooper were phenomenal rookies. But the rest of them, almost every other single player, did not meet up to expectations last year that was taken in a first round. Out of the top 10 rookies, those are the only two that met their expectations.
Well, that's absolutely right, Ray. And, you know, I'd even expand last year's first round to include Amir Abdullah, Tevin Coleman, Philip Dorsett. You know, we're looking at guys who are still really unproven. And now I know if we have experienced dynasty players listening, they're thinking, wait a minute, you know, if I'm drafting a rookie, I'm not expecting to get too much out of year one. You know, I'm expecting to see a leap in year two and especially in year three. But our point is, why are you punting the first 2 or 3 years that you're playing? You know, we've been in leagues where we see owners only draft players who are either rookies or in their first or second years. They completely cut every other player out of their draft queue. They don't consider anybody else. And then what happens is, you know, yes, you end up finishing with a really bad record and gaining a really high draft pick the next year, which gives you an advantage. But even though you have that really high draft pick, you still look at your roster and say, well, I don't know what I have going into year two. You know, I don't know what I have in Philip Dorsett or Rashad Perriman, and Perriman's not even going to play this year. You know, I don't know what Devontae Parker is. As well as he played down the stretch, you know, Jarvis Landry's still there. He's got the most catches of any player in NFL history throughout the first 2 years of his career. You don't know what Kevin White is. You don't know what these guys are. And if you're drafting them, well, it depends which one you're drafting, but say you're drafting Devontae Parker, you're probably taking him with one of the first couple picks in the third round of a startup. So, you know, you might be passing on T.Y. Hilton, who, you know, T.Y. Hilton, worst case, is probably the wide receiver 15 or 16 or 17. And best case, he's wide receiver 1. And he's 25 years old or 26 years old, something like that. It's not like he's 35. You know, we see these guys sort of pushed up, these rookies pushed off the draft order because people think, well, you know, I'm going to draft all these guys, and a year down the road, they're all going to be superstars, and I'm just going to dominate everyone. But that's a big mistake, and that's something that, you know, we see, you know, even with some of the experts, you know. I mean, I think there's sort of this sense that, well, if I draft a rookie, you know, he's going to hold his value because you don't expect too much from a rookie. So even if he doesn't play very well, well, he's still going to have, you know, if not the same value, close value the next year. But, you know, you look at Breshad Perriman right now, oh, his value is tanked compared to what you had to give up to get him in when he was a rookie, during the rookie draft, of course. You look at Nelson Aguilar. You look at Philip Dorsett, Tevin Coleman. You know, there are countless examples. You know, even Matt Jones to a certain extent. I know he was really a mid-second-round pick last year, but at this point, you know, Matt Jones is pretty much an afterthought. He's starting, and I don't think anybody in the world thinks that he's going to hold that job throughout, you know, or at least into next year. And if he does hold it into this year, I think everybody's expecting, you know, 3.5 yards of carry and no catches. So you don't want to draft rookies. What you do want to do is you want to draft young players who have already produced in the NFL. And you don't want to be afraid of drafting players who are 30, 31, maybe even 32, depending on position. You don't want to draft a 32-year-old running back if they have been very productive. So, Ray, can you talk a little bit about the types of players and maybe give a couple examples of players that we've sort of acquired this year in our startup draft?
You know, I think that everybody always knows the top-tier players, but I think one of the things that we like to do that, you know, without giving away all of our trade secrets, is if it's a two running back league and it's 12 teams, that means that every team essentially is going to be playing 24 starting running backs every single week. Now, everybody's going to want to have at least a starting backup, but there's not enough running backs in the league that is going to cover that in terms of starting running backs. So one of the things that I like to do, that we've liked to do, to find the depth at the running back position is look at guys who are going to get catches. It's a guy like Danny Woodhead. Danny Woodhead, no matter what situation he's been in, has been productive catching the football. And if you're in a PPR league, that's something that I don't care if he's getting you on a bye week play. He could get you 10 to 12 points on an average week just by getting his 5 catches for 50 yards. Theo Riddick, same type of situation. Chris Thompson had 2 games last year where he had 10 catches in each game. One was a playoff game. You know, you take a look at those types of guys, they give you really good depth, and you don't have to spend a high draft pick on them. And they're productive. And the thing is that they're not really touching the ball the same volume that some of these other guys are touching them. So you're going to get 16 games out of them. You know, they're very durable players. You know, that's key because running backs get drafted incredibly early, no matter what league you're playing, whether it's redraft, dynasty. Running backs tend to go just because in chunks. Like all of a sudden, everyone gets nervous because all the top running backs are gone, and then you're in this realm of the fourth round, and a lot of people panic, and they end up taking a guy like, you know, Jeremy Hill, not knowing which Jeremy Hill we're getting. Are we getting 2014 Jeremy Hill or 2015 Jeremy Hill? And they end up drafting Jeremy Hill over a guy like Kelvin Benjamin, who, again, wasn't on the field last year, but had a very productive rookie year. So you get people panicking. There's no reason to panic when it comes to running backs. And the other guy that I think could have a really good year this year, and that realm too is Duke Johnson. You know, Hugh Jackson knows what he's doing on the offensive side. He actually shown that he could coach the defensive side as well. But he knows what he's going to do. And no matter who's playing quarterback for the Browns next year, he's not going to be a very good quarterback. So he's going to need to rely on Duke Johnson, who's a great pass receiver, who's got great vision. Duke Johnson could have 80 catches this year. He really could.
Right, and if Duke Johnson has 80 catches, well, he's one of the top two or three running backs in all of fantasy football. It doesn't matter how highly regarded, you know, some of these other guys are. The catches alone in PPR leagues will really, you know, skyrocket these guys in the rankings. And, you know, the key there is you're not spending a lot of risk, or you're not too high, because running backs tend to only have a couple of good seasons. You know, you have the exceptions like Adrian Peterson and Matt Forte, but they're few and far between. A couple of years ago, Gio Bernard was a first-round startup player. You know, Jeremy Hill was close to that last year. Eddie Lacy was there. And, you know, these guys, they tend to lose value. And you know, age at running back is highly overrated because of that. Because, you know, you don't know what situation they're going to be in from year to year. You don't know if they're going to get hurt. Yeah, there are just too many factors. So I'm with Ray. You know, Danny Woodhead has really – that was a great example. That was someone we targeted last year, and he won us leagues. This year, I think if you listen to podcasts and you, you know, pay attention to what people in the community are saying, you know about Danny Woodhead. But there are other bargains that you could get that are similar later on. You know, Shane Vereen, for example. I know Shane Vereen isn't going to finish as the running back three like Danny Woodhead did last year, but he's in an offense that's going to throw the ball a lot. They don't have a good running back, and he actually had a lot of targets last year, kind of had a down year, but it still, I believe, finished as the running back 25. That's right on the border of being a running back two, and you could probably pick him up in the 19th or 20th round of a startup draft. So you take receivers late, you take a chance on these pass-catching running backs later. You know, Theo Riddick is another one, and now we even have, you know, news that there's a potential. His offensive coordinator, Jim Bob Cooter, says that, you know, Theo Riddick might get some carries this year in addition to all those catches he gets. I believe he was the running back 18 last year on catches alone. So these guys are just incredibly valuable, and they don't cost a lot, and they allow you to go and take those stud wide receivers with your early picks, because you know those guys are going to produce year after year as long as they stay healthy. One more thing I want to talk about, and we're going to have a part two to this as well, but you want to have your own rankings. You know, me and Ray are pretty hardcore about this. We've got a spreadsheet with our own rankings, and, you know, we've got guys tiered out. So we say, all right, you know, if we trade down to this area, we could get, you know, one of these three players. And we'll be happy with any one of those three. You know, so we know what we're looking at if we make a trade down, like we talked about so much when we opened the show. Another just unbelievably valuable tool, though, if you don't have your own rankings, and even if you do, is Ryan McDowell, one of the really big dynasty guys. He does ADP data every single year, and every single month. And what that is it basically takes stock of how dynasty players see each player, or where they value them. And so, for example, you know, Allen Robinson, I believe, last I checked, was like sixth or something like that in ADP. So you know that if you really wanted Allen Robinson for some reason to around sixth to take him, that's about where he goes on average. And that's valuable even if you have your own rankings because, you know, there are players that were higher on or lower on. And, you know, say we're higher on I'll give you a player we're higher on. We're higher on Andrew Luck than many, okay? Last year at this point, there were people making the argument that he could be the first overall pick in dynasty startups. And it makes some sense because you figure you take him and you don't have to worry about quarterbacks for the next 10 to 15 years. course, he gets hurt last year, and now, you know, his ADP is all the way down in the 40s, I believe. So Ray and I really like him, and if we were going to consider taking him, you know, we'd probably look and say, well, we might like him as a late second-round pick, like end, very end of the second round.
Mm-hmm.
We actually haven't taken him there because we don't take quarterbacks usually, but we don't have to take him there. We could trade down a round and pick up another asset and then probably get luck in the middle of the third or end of the third and acquire some other sort of down the line. So that ADP data is just unbelievable. It's a really great tool. And Ryan McDowell, you know, he's really generous on Twitter. If you ask him about a player's current ADP, I know he's finishing up the June data right now. You know, he's usually pretty good about just saying, hey, this is his ADP. You know, you asked about this guy, here he is. So check that out for sure. That'll help a lot. Tomorrow or next time we publish this podcast, I'm not sure when we'll actually put it up on the internet, we're going to talk a little bit about trading in Dynasty Leagues, what to do, what not to do, and, you know, how it can really, really help you big time to establish a dominant team in the league. You know, we've got seven teams right now. All of them are either completely dominant or, you know, at least probably in the top three rosters in the league. So, Ray, is there anything you want to add before we sign off for the night?
No, I would just say that one of the other little tips is that sometimes people get a little too locked in to a particular player when they're during the draft of saying, you know, kind of going in of saying, like, I need to get Jordan Matthews because I think Jordan Matthews is going to be have a great year this year. And they end up overdrafting him. I think that that's where, going back to what you were talking about before, where we do the tiers of players of saying, I'm not going to overdraft any of these particular players, but if there's this group is available or two or three of these guys are available in a particular area, we can move up to get them. And that goes hand in hand kind of what we're finishing up with between trading and getting the value for your money. Is that I've seen too many times where somebody has just said, I've got to get player X, and it just hasn't worked out. Now, one last thing. Dynasty Nerds did a startup draft with their staff members, and one of the interesting things is that the guy who had the first pick traded for the second pick as well, but he gave up 212, 3-1, 5-1, a 2017 first and second for the second pick, an eighth-round pick, and a ninth-round pick of the startup draft. So he took Beckham, and then he took Julio Jones. Then he ends up trading Beckham for Allen Robinson and David Johnson. Now, here's the funny part. David Johnson, he would have been able to get at 301. He would have been able to still get – he could have taken he could have taken Allen Robinson with 1-2. He moved his picks around a lot, and he ended up with David Johnson, Julio Jones, and Allen Robinson. But he also gave up two future first picks, and he lost his fifth-round pick as well. So you've got to be careful what you're doing when you're getting a little too anxious about moving around.
Right. You have to have a plan for sure. You're absolutely right, Ray. So just to wrap things up, you know, if you have any questions for us, you know, you can reach us on Twitter. Ray is at the Ray Mencio. I'm at NFL Rough Draft. You can email us at nflroughdraft@gmail.com. We hope to have a lot of these podcasts and really help some of the newer players. And next time, we're going to talk a little bit about trading and how that can help you when you begin a dynasty league. And, you know, we're going to begin with talking about something that one of Ray's coworkers, you know, former Mets manager Bobby Valentine, told him about trade proposals in Major League Baseball and how you can apply that to your fantasy football dynasty drafts and or dynasty leagues. Thank you for listening in, and we'll have a lot more for you throughout the course of the year. We'll see you next time.